You're listening to the Periodic Table of Awesome podcast, bringing you the best of geek from week to week. Join your hosts, Dion and Quinny, and the occasional special guest as they talk movies, TV, gaming, toys, comics, and everything in between.
Look, it's already December 26th because we've done it before. It's already out. We're doing it. Hello, welcome to the Periodic Table of Awesome.
Annyeonghaseyo.
You thought I would have learned some Korean after watching two seasons of a Korean show, but have I? No, I don't even know what that means.
Shibane.
Yeah, Shibane. What the fuck, man?
Yeah, exactly. That is quite literally what I just said.
Great. Hello to you guys and hello to everyone in the chat. Sorry, I do that.
Hello.
I do that to wave and it's hilarious.
Yes, let's wave with our fingers out.
Wave at the chat.
Waving. Yeah, we're waving. We're not hand on our heart. And
oh!
Then,
oh, fuck. No, yeah. No.
Yeah.
No.
See, waving.
No, no. It's like you just go to here and you don't go any higher. Just to there.
Just there? No.
No arm extensions. See, just here.
Straight out like this is hailing a cab.
And this is calling for the waiter.
Yeah.
This could also be Woo Girl.
But anywhere in between that is Fourth Reich, and we're not acknowledging that.
No, 100%. Exactly. Welcome to the dystopian future that none of us wanted, right? But we're here for it anyway.
Turn to the right. That's too far to the right.
Fascism, turn to the right.
you can but laugh because eventually we'll all start crying.
Yep.
So we have season two. So you know what? This is actually great because it is season two of America under Trump.
Yep.
And we're reviewing season two. Very difficult second season. I'm just really not looking forward to the, you know, future seasons. Like if it gets to like Game of Thrones, which is like, well, those first two seasons were a bit hit and miss. Then it kind of got good in the middle and then it went absolutely terrible towards the eighth season.
The eighth season of Trump.
Yeah, Baron Trump. Baron Trump's grandchildren in their, you know, 50-year term presidency because that's what his great-great-granddaddy put inside. Anyway, why did I say Diddy? He's not even involved.
How do you know?
Oh, he'll probably be pardoned.
Yeah, I mean, sure. You know that we'd hit one of the darkest timelines where Snoop Dogg.
Lines. No, no, they're taint lines now. The darkest taint lines.
The darkest taint lines. Yes. This is the darkest of taint lines, and Snoop Dogg is playing and saying that he loves Donald Trump. Oh, God. Anyway, cool.
Good
so,
season.
Here
two.
We go for season two
season
of Silo.
Shrinking.
Severance. No.
Oh, what's the other one? Severance is next, mate. Next week.
Oh, shit.
Silence. Wait, silence. We're doing Silo, Shrinking, and
Game.
Three Game. That's the one. That's a very deep.
Mr. Shamish.
Yeah.
God.
Yeah, yes. That's what we've got. And obviously,
apologies to anyone that does suffer
actually
from
have a
speaking
list.
Difficulties.
Yeah.
It's only funny in the context of it just made me laugh when I was a teenager. So obviously, you know, totally.
I know, right? Yes. Anyone who remembers the 12th Man will probably remember this whole Kenny calendar thing. To anyone that doesn't, we just look like dickheads. So.
Yeah, true, but not the first time and not the last, unfortunately.
Will not be the last.
The only person who comes out of this looking good is Jill, but that's always.
It's because Jill is incapable of looking bad.
Yes, it's true.
I'm just drawn this way.
Perfect.
Awooga! Awooga!
I got to put up the spoiler logo mainly because we're not doing the regular show stuff, I think, tonight, and because we've got too much to get through, or we're going to be here for fucking 5 hours, and I'm not about to do 5 hours on a Tuesday.
Yeah, you're not down for a 5 hour podcast? No,
not
what's wrong with you?
For a 5 hour podcast.
This is not the Corpse Flower live stream.
No. Putricia.
Putricia. Yeah.
Putricia. I love that.
See, this is why people sign in to listen to us. It's not just for our movie reviews or anything like that. It's our strong social commentary and our commentary on today's news that will be very timely when this podcast comes out.
This is the island of relevancy.
Or also, absolutely, you know, current community and cultural engagement that we have here in Australia, very specifically Sydney and these areas. Did you see anything at Sydney Festival? That's going on. This is great. I saw some courthouse drama. Anyway, no, look. We're all off. What do we do? Squid Game. Then. Squid Game. We're back on a Squid Game.
Squid Game.
Right.
Yeah. Okay.
Right.
Annyeong haseyo.
That literally Annyeong haseyo and Shiba or Shibane. Pretty much the only pieces of Korean that I can remember.
Yeah.
Okay.
So
Yes.
After the runaway success of the first season of Squid Game, which came out...
That was 3 years ago.
Yes.
Fuck.
This was our pandemic binge.
Exactly.
Oh, shit, it was too, wasn't it?
And I'll revisit this exact scenario too, Jill. Thank you for that countdown of the years. Next week when we do Severance, which also came out three fucking years ago.
No
wonder
God.
Everyone forgot about it. Anyway, Hwang Dong-hyuk's wonderful dystopian game show / terrifying, you know, why not take poor people down the luck and make them fodder for rich people's entertainment?
Why not?
Something like this could never possibly happen in real life, could it?
No, definitely not.
Just ask Mr. Beast. Yeah, about that.
We'll get to that one. But yes.
I mean,
sorry, you go, Quinny.
I was just going to say, I mean, I should have realized that there was more audience for this than there should have been when I watched Squid Game, the series. Squid Game, the real game.
Yeah.
That, Netflix put out like a year after the thing came out, mm-hmm. And I was like, no. It wasn't a guide for how to make TV, people.
Yeah, this wasn't a fun show.
this is not where we're meant to be going.
This is like the Squid Game Happy Meal. I'm like, this is not. Oh my children. God.
Oh, look, we finally created the Terradrome robot from this beloved book. I mean, this is exactly what
don't
we got.
Don't create the Terradrome robot.
Yeah, don't create the Terradrome robot. This is exactly what we got. Remember when Battle Royale came out, that Japanese movie about the island of misfit children who had to kill each other, and then they steadily have progressed that all through. Now there are games that are very popular based on that format. I mean, Squid Game won't do any kind
of Fortnite is essentially Battle Royale, isn't it?
Yeah. Yes. Mm. Yeah. Sorry. Thanks, Predikango. Don't create the Torment Nexus.
That's the one. I couldn't remember what Nexus. It was called. Yes.
That's the one. This.
I must admit, the most dystopian thing I have seen is the Squid Game Happy Meal, though.
Yeah.
Like, going
technically
into.
Technically, it wasn't a Happy Meal, but it was a McDonald's collaboration, and it was just a very weird choice. It's not a family show.
Guys, no. Come on. And I don't want to experience licking the Dongbuk. Candy in abject terror of dying.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, I'm okay without that with my McDonald's.
I mean, I don't know why you were surprised. Look at where look at our toys from the 80s where we sat there going, oh, that's a cool toy. Oh, it's an Aliens toy. It's aimed specifically at 8-9-year-olds who would never see Aliens ever because
Batman Returns had a Happy Meal back in the day, and that wasn't a kids' movie.
No, true.
Yeah, I mean, never underestimate how deep a marketing person will troll for just money. Yeah. Anyway. Look, you know, at least Squid Game gave us Lee Jung-jae, who is a wonderful actor and came through that with flying colours, and everyone really kind of got into it during the pandemic because there wasn't much else to do, and it was a nice tense sort of drama. And what was really lovely about it, it's in Korean. Bit of cultural exposure. There you go.
Yes.
Yeah, it was
fun. It was a good thing that suddenly everybody got over the 2.5-centimetre wall. That being the subtitles.
Yeah.
Oh, okay, right. Sorry, for a second there, I was like, yeah. I remember that game in the first season. And
yeah, yeah, climb over the 2.5-centimetre wall at the bottom of the screen.
Did I suddenly...
And if you don't, you get shot.
Yeah. Did I just have a dissociation episode while I was, you know,
yes,
watching Squid Game 2?
Yes,
where I
you
missed
did.
The 2.5-centimetre wall game.
yeah.
No, I didn't.
Probably. Okay.
Look, how do we go? Who's seen all of Squid Game first?
Me.
Okay, so we're talking Squid Game 1 or...
Two. No, we're talking Squid Game 2.
Okay, I watched all of Squid Game 1. I am 4 episodes into Squid Game 2.
Right.
And as such, I am going to have to recuse myself on this one because I haven't been able to watch a lot. I was really enjoying Squid Game Season 2, but was also watching it with my partner. And yeah, it was one of those things where the 2.5-centimetre wall... cropped back up when you're tired. It's like, I'm tired. I don't want to watch the thing. And I tried watching one episode in the dub.
It's bad, isn't
not
it?
For you.
Not good.
No.
Not good.
Dear. Subs, not dubs. Pay attention.
I'm sorry, Pritikanga. Yes, I actually watch a reality show. What can I tell you?
Single syndrome. Cool. So, like, at least I can... You can recuse yourself by pulling your ears out while I bitch to Jill about the spoilery parts.
Yes, absolutely.
We get there, you can tell us what you thought of it.
Yeah. What did you think of the second season so far?
What I've seen so far was really interesting. I liked some of the bait and switches where they're kind of like going, okay, yeah, we've got this sorted out. We're going to get back into the game and we're going to have our little tracker so that we're going to be able to find it, and putting the two sort of protagonists of the first series together, working together after, was it 2 episodes, they finally managed to get them back together. And you're like, oh, okay, sweet, right. They're going to work together. They're going to, and then, of course, no, it all goes to shit. But I liked the bits where you're seeing stuff that we've seen before, like the red light, green light, but played differently. And I was enjoying the different dynamics and seeing things for a second time around. You get a totally different perspective on it because you're like, I know what's going to happen here. And you that first vote for does everybody just fuck off and go home? You're like, oh, fuck's sake, Jesus Christ, will you vote to stop this? And you could really feel, I can't remember the lead guy's character's name.
Who?
Damn it.
Yeah,
the lead.
Seong Ji-hoon.
Seong Ji-hoon.
Ji-hoon.
You could really feel Ji-hoon just being like, no.
Yeah, you guys are fucking stupid.
And I don't want to tell you that I've won this shit before, but I have to. And now that's actually not worked. And you're like, ah. So, yeah, I was quite enjoying it. It took a little while to get going. There are a few sort of things that I thought they spent longer outside of the games than I expected them to.
Yeah.
Trying to get back in. I was sort of half expecting to be like, first episode, straight back to the games. But
yeah, because no. I think the novelty of it is finding out what the games are and seeing the games played. So, that build up to actually get back there is a little slow.
But I did quite like the whole thing of finding the guy who plays Dongbak, is it? The
paper flipping thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The process of finding him. Mm. And then also seeing the other weird shit that he did. I was like, okay, right. So, yeah, I enjoyed it. I will say I did watch one episode or half an episode with the dub, and there is something really weird with the dubs on Netflix.
Oh, yeah?
I'm almost 100% sure that they actually are using a refacing app
To make the mouths line up?
Yes.
What?
I was watching it going, hang on, these are surprisingly close to the mouth movements. Like, to the point of, I can actually see them making the right shapes for the English words.
Interesting.
Not That's always.
Weird.
Interesting.
But enough.
Well, you know,
and
I'd
be really interested to see if somebody can research that and find out if that's true.
Yeah. I would love to get confirmation on it because A, it'd shit me up the wall because but B, I did go, actually, that, I mean, the voices are still not great. But I can imagine if they'd gotten always with the names. If they'd gotten Lee Jong-jae to actually do his English, his lines in English,
sure.
I think that could be kind of amazing if they're redubbing with the original voice actors or people who are close to it.
Sure, but he doesn't have like accent-free fluent English, and then you would have like the rest of the cast who would be voiced by English-speaking
American
people.
Yeah,
and then him. I think the juxtaposition would be weird.
Yeah, true. Very true. So anyway, I found that interesting and I would love to see any kind of confirmation or whatever of that. Yeah. I can see, Dion, you have opinions.
I have a few. Firstly is the cost of the show.
Yeah.
So like first season was $21 million and the next two seasons... 100 billion won.
Wait, hang on, what is that actually?
You're like, okay. I love that. I love watching because it's always that thing when you're watching the pig bank fill up full of money. You're like, they're like, oh, it's 73 trillion won, and you're like, what? How much is that? I have no idea. I have no context for how much money.
69 million.
Yeah. So it's roughly
nice.
Yeah, nice.
Yay.
So they got a little bit of a production increase for the season two and season three, which sort of may explain why they went outside of the game area so much. They didn't have to so lock it down into kind of the game zones, and you know they could afford to have more face actors instead of just people in suits.
They can afford a J-pop kid to come in.
Not that I can honestly tell who's the J-pop.
Hang on, which one's
because
the J-pop
there's a shitty
kids?
Rapper person that we're all supposed to hate and he's awful. And there's a few more characters and everyone is actually like, I mean, this is the thing. Squid Game 1, everyone was awful, really. Like, they weren't there because they were good people. So it was about them trying to find their humanity in that. And season two seems to be a little bit the same. Like, everyone is kind of awful, but you've got now this...
Oh, I mean, like, there is the handful of people that are straight up assholes, but there's a really good core group of the nice guys, I want to call them, that have they're under bad circumstances that I'm so empathetic with.
I have one minor, like, it's probably a minor irritation for everyone else, but I have one particular thing about that one particular game where they're all spinning on the big wheel and have to go into the rooms, and they nominate people to go into the rooms, and because of the specific interests of one character, I have a thing which I'll talk to you about, Jill, which is
do I need to pull my ears out now?
Did you get to the one with the room with this big spinny wheel and they all have to go into the room yet? Yeah, no, like, it's a different game. It seems to be a few different games in there, but... You know, overall, I thought it was okay, but I feel like they spent too much time outside of the games and not enough in the game world because of a thing. Actually, can you just pull your headphones out for a second?
Okay. Wave at me when you're done. Thanks, chat. I'll be reading the chat. Don't be spoiler in the chat.
No, that's okay. The one thing that pissed me off is that it is not the finish. It's the middle of the thing. They split one game into two seasons and it shat me the fuck out of stuff. It's like releasing Wicked and not calling it Wicked Part 1 or Wicked Part 2. Like, fuck this. I'm shitty about it because it didn't do that one particular thing. And, yeah, sorry. There.
So what, just because, like, they haven't wrapped the Squid Game in the TV show?
Yeah.
Because they've now had a revolt and it's going to continue in season three.
Yeah.
You're pissed off?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, so am I because I have to wait for some time this year for the rest of it to come out.
It didn't resolve. Anyway, Kimmy can come back in now.
Because it's going to continue in the next season.
Yeah, it's just bullshit. No. Kimmy, wave. We're waving.
No, I didn't. Thank you for applauding in ASL.
Oh,
yeah.
My God.
It's nice to have a Warhammer on the entrance.
Cliff notes, Quinnie, without the spoilers, Dion is upset that it ended on a cliffhanger and it will be continued in the next season. And he's, like, got the shits with that. Because he's like, it's bad storytelling. I'm like, no, it's done on purpose.
I mean, how many seasons of TV have you watched, Dion?
For my sins, I've watched all of Stargate SG-1 and associated spin-offs, so I know what it's like to run out of ideas. Shade.
I do believe that season 2 and 3 were shot at the same time, so...
Yes, so we are getting season 3 sometime this year.
Right, okay.
Yeah.
I don't think I could wait another 3 years, to be honest, the way it ended.
And it's interesting that that's now becoming a very big point of conversation for a lot of people in the fandoms, but also in the industry, is the turnaround between seasons is too long for the amount of episodes we get.
Sure.
I think it was one of the executives for Amazon who was saying, you know, we love our TV shows and everything, but it asks a lot of an audience to give them 8 episodes and then say, okay, now wait 2.5 to 3 years for the next lot. Yeah. Oh, and by the way, hey, can you remember what happened last time? Because no, we fucking can't.
Something weird is going on. I mean, what happened to the good old seasons where they crank out 23 episodes?
Right?
In a year.
Syndicated TV was doing hard slogs.
And the best thing about that, it gave people work for longer.
Yeah.
Like, and also... And this is... part of that gig economy thing too, of going, okay, we're going to employ people for a shorter period of time, produce less episodes, have less writers, not have a writer's room, and at the same time then just, you know, be 3 years between seasons, but also there's no guarantee that you're going to get your next season because we're pretty fucking snip happy with our TV. Didn't rate quite as well as the last one? Fuck it, kill it.
In an effort to keep rolling along, I want Jill's opinions.
I want Jill's opinions. That's I want to know saying. What Jill says.
Yeah, I agree.
On Squid Game season two.
Oh, I loved it.
You loved it? Okay.
Look, I do agree that like the out of the Squid Game stuff, like the real world stuff, was I found it boring, but I did kind of find it necessary because you are curious about who is running the Squid Games. Like we got to see the weird rich people like enjoying the games in the first season, but like honestly, who runs it and what's their story?
And because was it old guy from the end of season one? Wasn't he the guy? But
yeah, but there's more to it than that. So it's kind of like, all right, well now that
Ilnam.
No, wait. What's our main character's name again? Ji-hoon. Now that Ji-hoon is like out, and he's like, "Well, who are these fuckers that are running this thing? Because I don't want this to happen to anybody else." And so it's his whole like red string theory investigation into finding these people. I think that's part of the necessary storytelling. But at the end of the day, we just want to watch the Squid Games.
I mean, to be fair, I have to admit, I did enjoy the recruiter story, like following that guy. Like, that was interesting
and
intense.
Some of that stuff was like fucked up. Yeah.
That was good. You know, like I was like, that is an interesting thing to do. I still don't understand why he dyed his hair red at the end of Squid Game 1.
No, but I'm glad he got rid of that very quickly.
Yeah, because he looked fucking terrible.
It was so weird.
It was also weird.
It's like if you're trying to fly under the radar, don't dye your hair.
Maybe just, I don't know, leave your hair exactly as it is.
I feel like there was some more interesting backgrounding given to the operators of the game, given in this one. Like that helped me understand a little bit, but still also it's pretty terrible and everyone's kind of terrible.
I'm not really finding a through line to care about the police guy whose brother is like an organizer in the games. Like his story of like sailing through all the islands trying to find the island is like, yeah, but why do I care about you? But the one person I do want to know more about is the girl that escaped North Korea that got recruited as a red suit person in this game, and following it from the perspective of the people in the red suits is that's been interesting.
Yeah, it's like, again, but I'm just frustrated by the fact that they kind of cliffhanger the ending of this season, and it's annoying. But Quinny, you might have to take your ears out again because I want to have one bitch about a thing you haven't seen yet.
Okay, before you have your bitch, I do just want to say I really liked that we finally got to see who are the people inside the masks and what is their experience of the games, because the sequence in the red light, green light, where, you know, somebody deliberately makes a choice to wound someone as opposed to killing them, and then somebody else just picks them off and is like, is there something wrong? You're like, oh, okay, so there is almost as much competition or as much danger for the red suits as there is for the players in some ways, which, but once again, it's basically all talking about power structures and capitalist or, you know, authoritarian power structures saying, you know what, everybody apart from the rich few are fucked. Okay, Dion, as you were.
Yeah, sorry. Okay, Jill. I've got to talk to you about this, and this is, like, spoilery for it. In that game where the pregnant woman goes into that room, that counts as two people because it had two heartbeats and they should have killed them because they added another person in there, and that's like, nope, you got too many in there.
Did the Red Suit people know that she was pregnant?
They would. They all have.
Do any of the organizers know that?
They all have trackers, and they would have had blood work. They're like, they're literally running an organ harvesting business. They would have given them a full medical workup, and they would have put them in there to find out whether or not they're gonna do that. Yeah. Right.
Okay.
Right.
So we found one. Yeah. Okay. Fine.
Yeah. Fair enough. Okay.
I don't care.
Waving for
Okay.
All right, I'm back. Fine. All right.
All right. Finish with that rant.
Yes, I've had my little stitch and bitch. Thanks. Thanks for listening.
Okay. I'm looking forward to watching the rest of season two and then season three.
Should we do a little clip of the season two spinny room?
Oh yeah, something for you to look forward to, Quinny.
I did just want to double check. Yeah. Have we bitched enough about Mr. Beast?
I don't think we need to give Mr. Beast any more airtime.
True dystopia always happens when some weird YouTuber becomes the person who runs actual tense games for people's money while playing for people's lives and information, and we're watching it on screen going, isn't that funny? We're literally 10 steps away or less, 3 steps away from watching people getting shot on live TV. It's The Running Man.
Yeah.
It's like, for your entertainment.
Give it time.
What did you get? A blender, you know.
You know what? You get your family's allowed to eat this week. Okay. So we got a clip? We're gonna
yes,
go
we
and
have.
Do 50
just,
things.
Just yeah. We'll do this clip and then we'll come back and talk about something else. That's a funny comment. Who said that?
Adsky. Right. The experience of trying to find a porta potty at a music festival.
Yeah. Anyway, you know, much the same lighthearted content that is Squid Game Season 2. It's on Netflix right now.
Yay.
Make sense? Cool. Great.
Go down to McDonald's and buy your Squid Game fucking Happy Meal and then lick your candy while you watch it. just to really experience.
Yeah, I think that meal's over. If anyone sees the Smith's chips, the pork belly red suit chips were good.
Fucking cool. I like that this show is also also not for kids, and they're selling it to kids and going, Daddy, can I have the Squid Game chips? And, you know, mommy or daddy. And they're like, no. You're not allowed.
Like the dystopian fucking idiocy of watching and seeing Smith's crisps and all these things with Squid Game characters. And you're like,
I mean, you know. Why are we here? We're watching Doritos sponsored by Benson and Hedges. Like, I suppose we're also selling candy colored vapes to fucking adults now.
It's true. Yeah.
Fact. Very true. Enough social commentary. Let's talk about another different piece of social commentary. Should we talk about Silo?
Sure.
Let's watch.
Stuck in this glass cage of emotions.
I'll run the quick trailer for Silo and then we'll come back and talk about that because there are no fun clips of that.
What's the big question?
What if everything you know to be true was just one big lie?
For as long as we can remember, everyone that goes outside, if killed by the dangerous toxins of an unsafe world. Juliet Nichols asked to go out. She was a fighter.
Warning, oxygen levels low.
But she died a hero to the silo!
She might be out there somewhere, still alive.
The lies have to stop.
People are saying it's time for a rebellion.
You can't control what she means to people.
I need to know what happened here. For my friends, my family. All we're trying to do is survive.
Nothing's gonna stop me from trying.
I'm not afraid of the rebellion. I'm more afraid of what she saw.
What did Silo? Silo!
Yeah.
How you going? Silo. How'd you go for that one? Much like The Road, yeah, really an uplifting Viggo Mortensen film. We're back for season two of Silo. After spending an entire season following Rebecca Ferguson, frustratingly trying to figure out the truth about some stuff in season one, she gets ejected out and then gets fucked up all over again for season two. There's my quick review of season two.
Yeah. I have so many opinions about this because I'm going to say I really enjoyed season one.
Just warning everybody. I've only got 3 episodes to go, so I haven't seen the end.
Oh, no.
I'm going to have to pull out earplugs today.
And it's just going to be me ranting to myself.
Chat, please be careful of spoilers.
Yeah, please be careful of spoilers. I'm actually going to look up to Wallace because I need to find out which episode the one emotional gut punch I had in season 2.
Well, I don't think I've seen it yet.
Yeah.
Okay.
yes. And so far, already I have seen some spoilers in the chat. Well, they're not actually spoilers,
I've seen episodes 1 through 6, and I'm halfway through episode 7. So
It's like in the second last episode. You'll have to both take your headphones out for that one.
Okay.
I gotta say, this has been a hard slog to get as far as I have.
I'm a little bit boring. I'm impressed that you got there because and my partner dropped out. We started watching it. She really liked season one. I love season one.
I don't remember liking season one that much, to be honest. I kind of only started doing this one out of requirement.
Right.
And But it was a background show. Like I had it on at work while I was doing mindless stuff and just had it playing. So yeah, not really fully in bed. But there's nothing really to get excited about yet. Yeah. Except for like the stuff on the stairs where they had barricades and there was a bit of a uprising and stuff going on.
Oh, see, there's a lot of that in there. And I want to find the thing. So I on Threads, which I'm now no longer, I'm somewhat regretting ever having been involved with, the author of the books is quite active. So his name's Hugh Howey. And he was also very involved with the making of the show and everything. Mm-hmm. So he's very passionate about talking about the show.
Okay.
And recently somebody said to him, hey, I just got to the end of the season and it was a banger and it was so good. I don't know what all these other people are complaining about. And he's like, yeah, stupid TikTokers. And I actually went, sorry, dude, no, I'm not a TikToker. I'm a fucking 40-year-old something, 40-something-year-old person who likes long-form TV and it was slow. Your second season was slow. You've divided the audience. The people who were interested more in Juliet were not given enough to fucking watch because she was in like tiny bits out of each episode. And then you focused on politics in the silo for a bunch of characters that we didn't give a fuck about in the first season.
What do you mean? You weren't following it with Academy Award winner Common?
God. I gotta say that this season I fucking hate the mayor.
Oh, hang on.
Like, if I was in that show, the mayor, gone.
Tim Roberts. You know, that's kind of a theme. Oh, right. That's kind of a theme of the whole show, right? Is that eventually all of these places seem to have active rebellions about being repressed by the authoritarian figure that
is
the mayor.
It's not just that. It's his fucking character just loves to be so fucking dramatic and poetic all the time. And I'm like, pull your fucking head in.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And this whole thing about, you know, if you're the number two or the shadow to a particular person, then you get to learn all of the things that that person learned. Like, there was a lot of structural stuff about...
It's so dumb as well because, like, the shadow's not even a position of power. It's literally just somebody that's, like, remarried on this other character. And so they've got no influence or anything like that. They're just there. They're parasitic. But I really feel like this fucking Bernard is in a whole other show doing his own thing and everybody else is acting in silo and he's on fucking Shakespeare.
Okay, right.
Yeah, I hate it.
I like how much of a supercilious prick he is. I love Tim Robbins as an actor. So I'm kind of like, yeah, I enjoy his performance because I do hate him. But
I
want to
see him
point.
Get his.
Yeah, absolutely. I want to see him get his. And I love towards the end where some shit does finally start catching up with him, which I won't say any more about.
Okay.
I also got to say, just watch through the end.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll finish it. Yeah. Finish it. Yeah, like, I just couldn't finish it before tonight.
No, it's okay. I feel like it was a slog. I can't say it wasn't because it is quite slow, but it builds to some quite interesting and poignant moments, I think, which could have been like, I'll agree, it could have easily arrived much quicker at those points.
Yeah.
But there's some key moments of that. Like, I mean, I can't really say it was bad because those revolution, like the way the story ends is quite interesting, especially about most of the characters that you're like following along and some that you've kind of forgotten about. But I thought it was interesting and it's more of an interesting sort of discussion about class and humanity and how you treat each other and the sorts of thing, control and all of these. Like, it's an interesting kind of extrapolation of that idea, and now it starts to, like, I mean, I by the end of the second season I was like, right, now that we've done this and we all understand it after the what happens at the end, you sort of go, I want to see this season three because they've got to do something now, like,
yeah,
Yeah, yeah. So that was my takeaway from it on those things.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like the chat's been saying for a while that this is a binge season, that it's a show that would work an awful lot better if you can binge it
as you
want.
If I had to do those first five episodes week to week, there's no way in hell I would have come back after two episodes.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And
that's the problem with it. Like the first five, at least, are pretty fucking slow going.
Yeah.
And there's not enough of the really intriguey stuff. And the really intriguey stuff is kind of Juliet over in the other silo and finding out what happened there.
Sure, but I think like also the stuff with Sheriff Billings and his investigation and him walking the line between, am I going to answer to the Uptops or am I going to do my own thing and find out the truth? That's kind of been an interesting narrative.
Yeah.
Yeah, whereas week to week I didn't give a shit about him. Yeah. Like, because there wasn't enough of him regularly.
Yeah.
But I think if you binge it, you keep better through lines for characters.
Mm-hmm.
Week to week, I found it really hard to remember what the characters had been doing. And I feel like we got a lot more characters this season. Mm-hmm. Like, there are more characters from the down low who suddenly had a lot more going on, plus Solo over in the other silo. And, yeah, to be honest, I was nearly ready to give it up until about episode 7 or 8.
Yeah, I agree. Like, thanks for slogging through it, but it starts to ramp a little bit harder by the end. But yeah, I still think it's a slow pace of a season. And I don't want to do any more spoilery things.
I'd like to do a little bit.
Just be talking to the chat.
Yeah.
Yes.
I was going to say, Jill, do you that just for a little bit? I do want to talk to Dion a little bit about
we'll jazz hands you when we're ready.
Okay. All right. See ya.
Okay. So that last scene.
of which?
Of the end of the last episode, the last 8 minutes, which is from what felt like an entirely different
TV
show.
Wait, did you watch all of Silo 2?
Yes.
Oh, right. You've seen Silo, all of the second season of Silo.
Yes.
Oh, right. Sorry, I got this compared. I thought, like, I was out. Like, that wasn't jazz hands, Jill. Sorry. Okay, if you've seen it, and I'm going to talk about it and whatever you're doing there. Okay, the emotional gut punch that I had for season two of Silo was finding out that Solo was, like, 12 and had to watch his father get murdered. And then all of that kind of stuff where you start to actually get really sympathetic to that character who was a dick earlier for most of the time. And when you actually work out that he was just a kid and he's just a big kid who's now 50. Yeah. No wonder that
and
was...
has never had any kind of interface with anyone other than that.
Exactly.
Also, there are a couple of really interesting ideas in there. Suddenly the realization that there is an AI or something along those lines that is watching them
all the time. Computing all of them for them. Yep.
Yep. That is a big thing. But the thing that really got me the last 8 minutes.
Just
the with Jessica Henwick and the other guy and the whole thing. That was kind of almost up there with Lost level stuff.
Yeah, that's some bullshit stuff where you're just kind of like, oh, well, we're doing a flashback now. Like, we're doing a flash prequel. Is that what season 3 is going to be? And then we'll have to come back and do season 4, like all that kind of shit.
Because apparently, that stuff is from the book Shift, which is the third book in the series.
Yep.
Whereas everything other than that has pretty much just been the first book. So I'm very interested to see where they go with all the stuff from the second book, which we haven't seen anything of yet.
Yeah, we'll get there. We'll see how we go.
I was excited. I liked seeing something new.
Yeah, yeah. That was good. Yeah, thanks. Cool. No worries. spoiler out. Could be interesting. You also may have a problem with the end of season 2, Jill, but, you know, we'll see when you get there. We just talked about that particular issue.
It was surprising enough that I was like, okay, color me intrigued.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, yeah. I'll come back with my final episode review next week once I've finished it.
Sure.
Yes.
Anytime.
Also, I do want to know whether or not anyone else feels that like maybe some of the magic of Silo was washed off by us seeing Fallout.
Yeah. Oh. I mean, you know, dystopian futures.
Fallout feels like Underground Light compared to Silo.
Yeah, yeah.
Silo's like doing a high fantasy version of Fallout.
Yes, and if Fallout is Armageddon, Silo is Deep Impact.
Oh, okay.
Neither of those films are good.
Fucking love Deep Impact. No, I love Deep Impact. Hey, Leone, come on.
How very dare you.
How dare you. Yeah, look, I always recommend to reading the books. The books are usually generally better. What was that one, Better Living Through Chemistry? No, what was the chemistry show?
Lessons in Chemistry.
Book far superior to the show.
Book was better.
Okay. Yeah, yeah. The book was far better. Yeah.
That doesn't take much.
No. Yeah, Silo, frustrating season. I hope people who are going to keep going with it. It's still been renewed for another two seasons, so.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, we'll see how
they've got the confidence in it to let him finish the story, something that one of the things I do like about Apple is that sometimes they give people, you know, the time to finish their story. Oh, that was the case of Schmigadoon.
No.
That was one of the things. They gave everyone as much money and creative freedom as they needed to do their show. And then they went, that's costing us a lot of money. and you know, we're not exactly getting the greatest return out of this. Let's maybe start making some decisions about how you're spending our money.
Yeah.
Surely Schmigadoon was fucking cheap compared to Silo.
In comparison to C, fucking oath.
Yeah.
Hey,
we need season two or anything after that of
you
C?
You leave season two alone of C. C2. We should have done C2, actually.
No, we shouldn't have. I'm glad we never did.
We don't need to.
Yes, but now he's Lobo, so whatever.
Yeah. Yes.
Should we go? Okay, that's Silo. Shrinking. Should we go to Shrinking?
Shrinking. Yeah.
Shrinking. Let's do the Shrinking trailer. Yay.
Therapist, I think we're all on a hot streak.
Whoa, you wearing your sex boxes I work for, you little freak.
Dress for the job you want.
Wow, you better slow that down.
This is why I hate to come out of my office.
I think that Alice is worried about me.
It's rough to realize your kid knows how fragile you are.
Paul, do not do that. How are you so strong?
I'm not fragile.
Why don't you try and stick to conventional therapy? Try and be normal.
You're not going to start jimmying me?
Start jimmying you?
You know, that weird therapy you do outside of the office that Paul hates.
Jimmying, though, huh?
Dear God.
I like that.
And that's our time.
It's just that it sounds like a movement or...
It's not your patient's job to heal you.
Push my husband off a cliff. I'm a psycho with... good hair.
I like the good hair part.
Look whose self-esteem is back.
I can't stop thinking he's going to go back to the way he was after Mom died.
If you don't truly deal with your past, it's going to come back for you. And then, boom. Yeah! Ah!
You okay? You have a bad dream?
Ugh, that's how I clear my throat. Ah! There we go.
You can't spend your life hiding from your fear. Instead of running from it, say, bring it on.
That's it?
You want me to pull my pants down and make my ass clap?
How much do you pay him?
Nothing.
Yeah, that sounds about right. The sky
is blue, I'll fight. We all hope that we're the kind of person who's gonna come through.
Something changed a few months ago. Felt like I got my dad back.
You might argue I don't have enough boundaries.
Well, maybe you have too damn many.
And we should be working together, like Batman and Robin. You can even be Batman. You already sound like him.
I'm gonna make you pay for that.
That's exactly what Batman would say.
Get in front.
Are you getting jimmied? That's what I want to know.
Well, I mean, the only thing I know how to jimmy is a car door. but that's a story for another
time. I fucking love this show.
Oh my God.
Shrinking.
How do you have
two?
A full cast of characters that are so fully realized and fleshed out that it just feels like you're watching their day-to-day life. Like, it does not feel like a sitcom television show.
No. And it's funny. It's hit that particular place in my little cold, blackened thing that I call my soul that sits pretty much dead set alongside Ted Lasso. Like,
yeah.
It's just in that same little niche where it's just like, this makes you happy. this makes you feel slightly more whole. And this has Derek in it.
Oh, he's got two Dereks in season two.
So much fucking Derek.
But, I love Derek.
Oh, my
Derek's,
God.
Derek's don't run, Quinny. Remember that one?
Yeah. Jesus Christ.
Yeah, I know.
That's a bad taste.
Yeah, bad taste.
There's something about it that is so joyous, and I think it's in its ability to also bring us really heartfelt and sad moments, but also in such a way that we're so easy to empathize with these characters that to fall into sympathy with them is like can also stir emotion in you. And just because it's not joy, but it's also like you're feeling heartbreak for the characters at the same time too, I think that is such an immense pleasure that you can get from TV as well.
Yeah. There's a lovely saying, I think I can't remember the reviewer who said it. It was, I don't know, American reviewer. Cinema, but I extend this to TV as well, is a machine for creating empathy.
Yeah.
It's a machine for creating empathy. Because it's the few times that you can actually watch another person and understand how they feel, see enough of their story that it will make you feel alongside them. And there were so many times watching this season that I was just like having a cry, having a big old emotional.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's not just the writing, but the performances as well. I mean, everybody in this show just eats.
Yeah.
And sometimes they know they're eating too and they're having a nice time with it because they're like, I ate that scene. Fuck yeah, it was great.
Yep.
But I agree with both of you. Like, I felt like these are characters of, they're real. They feel real because they're all deeply flawed people that are trying to do as much good as they feel they can do, but they also understand that they do bad and they have to face the consequences of those actions and things. And it feels very human because everyone in the show is amazing, except everyone is also prone to being able to be terrible.
Yes.
And the great thing I think about it is that everyone in the show feels guilt, except for the ex-husband. He's just an asshole.
The abusive ex-husband.
The abusive ex-husband who got pushed off the cliff.
Oh, that guy.
Yeah. Like, it's just like, you know, and they even mentioned that thing. It's like, oh, I'm sure that he'll come. No, he's just an asshole. You can't fix some people. Yeah, but like, it's a smartly written, well acted, you know, has good stories, is a pretty normal thing.
Yeah.
There's something to be said about slice of life.
Yeah.
It's easy to be able to put yourself in that situation.
And the writing is just so beautiful that, you know, the characters are breezy. They kind of bounce off each other. Their quips are so fast. And they're so on brand for themselves. Like, you know, you always know who's going to have the snarky little one-liner
They all have their character in pocket. Like, they're so relaxed in their performances, it's so natural.
Yeah.
I think that makes it so easy to watch and so effortless to get on board with.
Like Brian, Jimmy's best friend, could be one of the most abrasive characters around, but you love him because he knows that he's a dick.
But he has his vulnerable moments and that's when you get in there.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, every little character does wedge you eventually, and you're like, God damn it, I didn't really like that character, but now I feel emotional connection to making sure they're happy. Great.
Like, Liz is a character, you know, that could, like, in another TV show, Liz could be, you know, a one-note gag, the annoying neighbor who's, you know, obnoxious to her husband, is angry with the world in so many cases and sort of, yeah, can be a bitch and has got a bit of the Karen about her occasionally. Yeah. But she doesn't, because you love her. And you see when she's trying to do the right thing by people and that she is trying to mother people, or she is also in this season doing things that you're like, oh, no, well, you've done the wrong thing.
Yeah. See, everyone.
And then that.
Yeah, everyone has the ability in the show to be flawed. And the people that you think are the great characters who are always nice and they're the real rock solid ones are like, nope, they got flaws. And the people who are, you know, kind of dicks or boring, you know, like, oh no, they got flaws too, but they also try really hard or they recognize stuff. So it's an interesting show. I feel like it is therapy for everyone. It uses a lot of therapy language too in the show. And yeah, you might find yourself using some therapy language in life.
I think it's bad. Very helpful in that sense. My bad. Oh, but I love that it does normalize therapy quite a lot. I mean, the thing is, we've talked about Shrinking season one, mm-hmm. and I'm pretty sure we kind of said how much we loved it back then. Mm. Things that are new additions or changes for season two that I found really interesting. You can't really go past Brett Goldstein.
Yeah.
You know, he's probably one of the biggest changes to the show, and disruptors to things. Mm-hmm. That and the fact that they gave Ted McGinley more to do with Derek. Like,
yeah.
But yeah, so Brett Goldstein's one of the main writers on the show, mm-hmm. Co-created with Bill Lawrence. And he has inserted himself in as one of the characters. And I don't think I have been more emotionally fucking bereft. Like, we love Roy Kent. Yeah. You know, we'll always love Roy Kent. But Lewis is this poor fucking dude, but also did something horribly wrong.
Yeah.
And is happy with every single consequence. Well, not happy, but, like, it just deals with every single consequence. Like, also, you know, it's really good to watch a lot of what I think are positive male role models in the show as well that do not resort to some of the stereotypical behavior that you see from men. Like, it's an interesting and way that they talk to each other about their feelings and what they're doing. Like, you know, Paul, Harrison Ford's character in this, is just this gruff, terrible, horrible, you know, kind of mean-spirited, could easily have been played that way. But because he realizes that he has to have emotional connection and needs to communicate that was part of his character growth in this season. That's a really great thing.
Yeah, I think it's kind of also aided by the addition of,
Wendy.
Wendy Malick.
Playing, yes, thank you, playing his girlfriend, Julie.
Yep.
Is that her name? Yeah, this season. She's fabulous. And I think including her in this season, like, kind of humanizes Paul a bit more, but also kind of gives us all something to tease Paul with as well, with like, you've got a girlfriend, oh, you're capable of emotions, you know?
Yeah.
Which is fun.
Yeah.
It's nice to see a different side of Harrison Ford's character.
Mm, gotcha. Yeah. And I mean, if you don't get to the end of that last episode with Paul's speech at the party without getting a little choked up, you're not human. I'm sorry. Oh my God. That was the one where I'm like, oh, fuck it. Just give him all the awards.
Yeah.
I mean, I was curious about it when I started watching. I'm like, I'm not sure where this show's going. I'm not sure if you're connected to these people. They just seem to be having a very Los Angeles life. They, you know, I don't know how can you connect with it? But it is more about human connection and emotion and dealing with things and how you deal with it. I think that's the important, what I got out of the show is, like, it's how people deal with things, and the only way they actually properly deal with things is by talking about it, understanding it, working through it with other people, and being accountable to yourself. That was the interesting thing for me watching the TV show, because, you know, plenty of shows can be like, oh, I did this, and that's my resolution. And now I'm going on my journey to become a better thing or fix the problem that I did, and everyone lives happily ever after. And this show, it's none of that. You know, it's not like there is no real happy ever after. You can't just do one fix. And that's kind of the through line I see from season one to season two, is like, there is no just one fix.
Yeah, we got a lot of character development this season, like whether that was good or bad character development. Like in Liz's case, she made a bad choice and then had to overcome that. And then we have, like, Sean making leaps and bounds with, like, his growth. And, it's good. There's plenty to keep me interested.
Gabby as well. Like she has this interesting sort of development where, and I really like what you're saying, Dean, about that whole thing of it's about working through things with other people. When people go solo, they struggle. Mm. When they reach out and ask for help, that's when things get better for them. And when they do difficult things, you know, they have those difficult conversations, they approach things and be brave, that's when the show kind of rewards them in a way.
It's funny.
It's not always.
It's funny because the title credits are just explaining all of that right for you in the straight. There's a whole big maze that people are trying to get to, and all the different people are doing it in all different ways, and some of them are successful and some of them are stupid. And, you know, some of them won't, well, you know, one person's riding a ride on lawnmower straight through all the hedges towards the middle. Like, sometimes it's all just different ways of getting to a different place.
And quite often the way that they get there at the end is together. So,
yeah.
It's so meaningful.
It's really good.
Heartwarming television.
And I do
want to. Food for the soul.
I do want to extend a hearty middle finger to the Golden Globes.
Get snubbed?
Not entirely snubbed, but for another year, they gave The Bear Best Comedy, and I'm like, it's not a fucking comedy.
That's a drama.
No.
Yeah, and yeah, all of this acclaim going to The Bear when you've got this show sitting here giving us such fucking beautiful shit.
But you know, it doesn't matter. Remember, awards are nice, but they're not the be all and end all, Quinny.
Yeah, they don't mean anything.
You know, everyone knows we always get nominated, but we never win the awards.
Except for Peter.
Yes. He's just out there winning awards as we speak. Yes, probably, you
know? Still gonna guts out to get another one.
Yep.
I do have that question about Jimmy. So Jimmy's our lead here. I find him occasionally so difficult to watch.
Oh, 100%. I'm like, if anybody's making the most mistakes and the worst mistakes, it's fucking Jimmy.
Yep.
I'm like, Jimmy, you have a problem.
And your problem is your need to fix other people's problems.
Yes.
Yes. Whilst also having your own problems.
Have a look in the mirror first, mate.
Yeah. I mean, that's kind of what it is. Sorry, you go, Cody.
Oh, no, I was just going to say I heard a lovely little piece of story that Brett Goldstein was talking about. They knew they needed somebody to be their lead, and they were thinking of somebody like that. They approached him, and in the Zoom call where they were talking to him about it, Brett had the Muppet movie that that Jason is in on the wall behind him, and only halfway through the Zoom call did he realize that. And he's like, oh, fuck, now I look like I'm the dickhead that's, you know, trying to blow smoke up his ass because of the thing. And that's just the Muppet movie that he happens to have a poster on his wall because Brett Goldstein is a good human.
Well, not the first time that Jason Segel has had Muppets in his films.
Have you heard the story about his Dracula musical, Muppet musical?
Yeah.
No.
Did you ever see Forgetting Sarah Marshall? The
Yes.
And do you remember that there's
movie.
Good dick?
Do you remember that there's a Dracula musical that Jason Segel's character does?
Oh, very vaguely.
Very vaguely. It's like right to the end, you know, he goes away and then decides to make this puppet Dracula musical one man show kind of thing. And Quinny, I believe this is your opportunity to step in.
So. Jason Segel had been working on this thing for fucking years and years, and originally approached, oh God, who's the big producer?
Judd Apatow.
The guy, Judd Apatow. Okay. And well, said, hey, I want to do this.
He hadn't really been working on it for years. Like I saw the interview recently.
It had been in his mind.
But he wasn't getting enough work. He was struggling to get traction, and he kind of committed himself to doing this project, which was a Muppet-based Dracula musical.
But he was passionate about it. This was the thing that he loved and wanted to make for a long time. Went to Judd Apatow, showed it to him, and Judd Apatow said, never show that to anyone ever again.
Also, you got to remember that he also rang up Judd Apatow at like 10 o'clock at night and said, I have to come around and show you this thing that I've been working on. I think it's amazing, blah, blah, blah. And went over and put a DVD in of this kind of tester thing, and Judd Apatow there just turned to him and went, never show this to anyone. And then that came back towards the end of this film, which is when they were making Forgetting Sarah Marshall and they hadn't quite figured out how they were going to end it. And that's when Jason Segel turned to Judd Apatow and went, do you remember the puppet musical that I did? That's how we end it. And Judd Apatow went, yes.
Oh, I have to rewatch the movie now.
And I did love the thing that I also heard. They were talking about getting Harrison Ford on board. Mm-hmm. And they said, okay, you're going to be working with this guy. And they said, oh, it's Jason Segel. And he's like, I haven't seen anything. So they showed him Forgetting Sarah Marshall. Mm-hmm. And so afterwards on set, he was explaining to Jason that this is what they'd showed him. And halfway through, he's like, oh, shit, I have a big nerd scene in that.
Yep.
And he's like, and Harrison's like, yeah, good movie, kid. Nice dick. I'm just imagining Harrison Ford telling you you've got a nice dick. That's one to take to the bank.
On that note, what are we doing next week?
Next week we're doing Severance and Skeleton Crew. Skeleton Crew and Shiverich.
Yes.
As I like to call it, Neil's Adventures and Some Other Kids.
Neil! Oh, we love Neil.
Best character.
We will all Neil before Jod next week.
Yeah.
Got some fucking zingers, Quinny.
Sounds fucking wrong.
I'm so angry. I didn't think of that. So angry. One before Jod.
Yeah.
Or as Peter would say, if she was here, God.
Yes. God Nana would. Coming up next week for Skeleton Crew and also Severance, which I went back and watched the final episode of season one of Severance and then watched the first episode of season two of Severance. And I'm still really fucking confused.
I'm going to watch a recap thing on YouTube before I go into season two.
Yeah.
Yep.
Once again, 3 years between seasons. It's a long fucking time.
Like, I remember big portions of it, but like, I can't remember what the cliffhanger was.
Mm. Yeah. Go back and watch the season one finale watch a wrap up, because it kind of helped, but it also made me go, what? Oh, that's right, they're doing, okay, fine, I sort of see what's going on now. Sure.
I just remember all the really weird shit with Lumon and the, like, where you get the rewards that take you to the weird
dance
fucking
party and...
yeah, the weird house down in the bottom of Lumon that is like the Lumon's old guy's house and people with weird masks and shit.
Fuck, I forgot that.
Yep, yeah, there's some weird sex shit in this thing.
It's a weird fucking show. And then we'll be out of the season of S shows for January and into February. That's right, it's S-themed shows for February. It's S all year. No, I don't know what
it's just S all the time.
Anything starting with
why?
S.
We don't know.
Yeah, yeah.
It's the year of the snake.
It's true.
Yeah, yeah, we'll do mushroom. badger, mushroom. Right, okay, that's been great.
Yes, thanks, guys. Waffle party, the melon farmer, all that stuff. It's going to be a good time. So, yes, please join us again next Tuesday. You went and watched a movie on Friday.
Did I? Oh, yes, I did. I went and saw a biopic.
Yes. not a biopic?
Not a biopic.
Biopic.
I went and saw it. Yeah, I myopically saw a biopic film which I've forgotten the name of immediately. Why did I just forget the name?
A Complete Unknown.
There we go.
Yeah, why you forgot. I totally forgot. It's completely unknown.
Starred no one, had no one in it. Very special boy, Timothy Chalamet, and his little passion.
No. How is that pronounced?
Chalamet.
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 Timothée.
Timothée Chalamet.
I will say, I think that Nikki Glaser's intros on the
his beautiful little eyelashes that grow on his top
there's some comedy gold that she pulled out there, and calling on Adam Sandler for the Chalamet.
It was it's James Mangold, so you know he's done Logan. He gets a free pass, but he also did Indiana Jones and the Dial of Destiny.
You can't have it all.
You can't win them all.
But this one is actually it was pretty good, actually. Like it deals with a very specific time period of Dylan's life, and it does not paint Dylan as a particularly good person, but more as a cultural piece of time. But I think, mm-hmm. Timothy Chalamet did a really good job of inhabiting Dylan. He's surrounded by, great actors as well, playing everyone else. I still don't think he uttered one syllable that didn't run together like Bob Dylan going, anyway, I gotta go to this stuff, And he's off. It's like, and let's all remember that Bob Dylan is not a particularly good singer, but he's an excellent musician. He's an excellent musician and a very good songwriter. And it focused a lot more on that, thank God. But one of the really impressive things I got to say about this is everyone in the film sings. And it's really well done because it's Timothy Chalamet singing. Hey? It's a film about music, so it is very heavily musically based. But everyone sings, which is great. But it's not the Les Mis version of everyone singing; it's the people who are playing the characters are actually singing the songs that you hear. So they're doing covers of the real music. So they don't put the real music over, and it gave it a pretty good sort of authenticity to it. And it doesn't feel really pitch corrected, or I'm sure there would have been a little bit of stuff there, but I feel like they did a good job with it. But it's very specific.
There's no musical numbers or anything, though. It's not like
No. It's not like, the Joker 2, where they just burst into things. So it's not a musical. It's a biopic about Dylan and in the specific kind of 10-year period in the 60s where he became famous and then kind of cut all of the puppet strings that made him famous by pissing off everyone that was his fan base, kind of. It's an interesting film. Is it worthwhile? Yeah, I think it's great. But does Bob Dylan look great about this? Nah. He does not come off well, like as a nice human. But
though he did approve the script. So.
Yeah, but also...
Because he's still kicking.
As we found out that also Timothy Chalamet has never met Bob Dylan.
Oh,
I know, it's great. Like,
even though he's still alive, and he could have.
Yeah, he could have. It's just that he decided he didn't want to meet him. He just wanted to create the art and did that and hasn't met Bob Dylan yet. Bob Dylan has seen the film and he's like, yeah, okay. Like that happened. And I'm like, you don't come across, you don't come across great here, Bob. And Bob's like, yeah, it was a dick.
Look, he's 1 foot in the grave and rich. I'm sure he doesn't give a shit.
Uh-huh. Yeah, this Tamri man lives off me. But yeah, that was an interesting one.
Nice.
Cool. Recommend it. Go on.
Mm.
Yeah.
We're off to see Companion this week as well.
Yeah. I'm really intrigued by that one.
Companion.
It's very strange.
Starring that wonderful Book of Boba Fett actor who played Drash. Remember her? The mod biker.
I love that you're focusing on her.
Absolutely. That's
like,
it.
You could be looking at...
it's her and Boimler.
From Lower Decks. it's Boimler and...
Starring Drash and Boimler. So there you go.
Because I'm sure that's how he wants to be known for the rest of his life.
Yep. Drash and Boimler. I'm just passing time until we get Mithrigan. Until she comes back.
I'm very excited for next month, where we've got some new, Marvel's back. We've got Marvel's Captain back. America.
Hey, now Marvel's back. Great.
Yes, which is nice. I'm sad to realize that this year we only get one piece of official Star Wars stuff. Now that Skeleton Crew is finished, there is only one other thing happening in Star Wars this year.
Is it Andor?
Is it?
Yeah.
I'm not sad.
Like, oh no, I'm happy that we're getting Andor, but at the same time, I was like, oh, that's considering. I think we had six different things that came out last year for Star Wars.
Based on the Lego announcements for this year alone, I'm happy they're not punching another thing out.
It's weird too because we have Star Wars Celebration this April.
Yeah, cool.
Yeah, that's true.
In Japan, where they're going to announce another fucking 2,000 figures. Some other UCS fucking thing that'll be amazing, and I'll be like, God damn it! Did you like? I know you don't care. But I'll just talk about Star Wars Lego anyway. There's rumors, it hasn't been officially announced, that there is a Lego Death Star coming out, but it's like
a new one.
They've released two before, but they're doing a new one. But the scuttlebutt about it is it's the most expensive Lego set that they've ever released, and it's clocking in at $1,000. $1,000. I don't know.
Yeah, but
it's got to be. It's got to be.
Well,
big.
How much was the Millennium Falcon in the US?
In the US, it was only like $599.
Because it was like $1,200 here. Wasn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah. Because the exchange rate sucks. But
so how much is this Death Star gonna be?
If it's $1,000,
like $2,000
more.
Yeah.
So
Dion's going to take out a small one.
So if anyone wants to subscribe to our Patreon,
drop some serious cash in that Ko-Fi.
Drop us a Ko-Fi, and then I'll embezzle the money for Lego. No.
Because the thing I'm probably most excited about for next month is it next month or is it the month after? It's Daredevil.
Oh yeah.
Oh yes.
It may be March. But the new trailer for that has dropped and I thought it looked fucking sick.
I haven't watched it yet.
It's violent as fuck.
I'm just going to watch the show. I don't care what the trailer is. I'm just going to watch the show.
No, you know what? Good call.
What about Brave New World?
Keen as.
Oh, that's what I was talking about. That's the new Captain America.
No, it's called... Oh, yeah, Captain America.
It is Brave New World. It used to be New World Order.
Yeah, that's right.
And they changed it because they went, ooh, that's maybe a little dangerous.
Oh, dear, yes, in current climate. Also, The Gorge from Apple TV, that, you know, the weird science fiction show about the cavern to hell.
It's, the chasm between two, like, firewatch.
Go look it up. It's weird.
It looks fucking weird and cool. Anya Taylor-Joy. It looks very strange.
Yeah.
Yes. All of these things are coming up in February, unless they're coming up in March and I got the date wrong. So,
But join us next week. Yes, we'll talk all things Star Wars. I'll get the gonk button ready to keep myself on track because we also have to talk about Severance, you know, that other show, I guess.
Yes.
Yep. Please don't. No, don't. Nothing's going to be made great again. I don't want to know that. Nah. We're already sliding into weird societal decline.
Don't check the live stream. See if Putricia has started to bloom yet.
Yep.
Oh, I want to see. Is that a Twitch stream? Could I go and find Putricia?
Oh, sure. Wouldn't that be amazing if we could raid the Botanic Gardens Twitch stream?
What's going on with the Putricia?
It's on YouTube.
Oh, dear. We could try.
There's nothing there for Botanic Gardens. That's disappointing.
Yeah.
But if everyone's wondering what WWTF means, it's the cult of Putricia. We watch the flower.
We watch the flower. No longer cult of the lamb. It's cult of the flower.
Yeah. WWTF. Amazing. We watch the flower.
All right.
So when you join, you have to say WWTF.
Right. That's fucked up and I love it.
Yeah.
All right, everyone. We're going to go.
Let's go and raid Barjo. Are we playing some Red Dead Redemption?
We're going to do that this time. You found the button.
Yeah, I found the actual button. It's going to fucking work.
There you go.
All right. Okay. Then. Bye.
See ya.
Thanks, everybody. Good night.
Thanks for listening to the Periodic Table of Awesome podcast. If you have questions, please email info@theperiodictableofawesome.com. Find us on our website, www.theperiodictableofawesome.com, where there's links to our iTunes, Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, Instagram, and Twitch. Until next time, stay awesome.